Thanks to Kim for graciously allowing me this time to give a testimony. Praise God, and as the Lord leads, a short word of encouragement. My apologies if some of this is a bit repetitive. I've sent some emails, some of you may or may not have heard, but I'll start with a follow-up from last time. When I landed, I inquired of Joss, who was the host, for a follow-up of what had happened. And the first thing, we went to an area, and you may remember I spoke to somebody who fell down a well and crippled himself. He was going to get water to practice witchcraft on his sister. Well, prayed for him. He repented of Hinduism, witchcraft, gave his heart to the Lord. He got saved, praise God. And he was sitting there waiting for his healing. He developed a fatal liver complaint shortly after that, but he died confessing Jesus. God knew the time, didn't he? Another woman, Catholic but unsaved, desperately oppressed, demon manifested when I spoke about faith in the blood of Jesus. And she gave her heart to the Lord, got delivered. She was barren. I prayed for that. She's now, praise God, the mother of a little baby girl.
Praise God.
Praise God. God is faithful. Another person had throat cancer. We were in the tsunami area, and everything was swept away. His livelihood, everything. It was rebuilt. World vision had gone there. He'd given his heart to the Lord. He was saved. But he still had throat cancer. We prayed for the baptism. He's still speaking in tongues. The Lord led to curse that tumour at its roots. It's now totally manifest. He's free of throat cancer. And God has restored his living. He's now running a little sweet shop, paying for his money. Praise God. There was a blind couple who could hardly see. And the Lord's begun to manifest their healing. They have no Bibles, got nothing, but the joy that comes from them. They radiate the love and the peace and the joy of God.
Glory to God.
Yes, Jesus.
Praise Jesus.
Their eyesight is beginning to manifest, and the Lord has blessed them with Bibles. They can now read enough. They can read scripture. The whole thing is just like that. It was just overwhelming. The sense of privilege and God's love and presence there. There was a baby that was there this time, had a heart operation. The Lord led to rebuke the spirit of infirmity because the heart, there was a blockage, but she wasn't recovering, she wasn't growing properly, it was still. So we leave that with the Lord. The same sort of thing. And what God is doing, similar with us, he is touching them. You could feel the presence of God. But there's a walking out, there's a faith, the parents' faith, and he's maturing their faith. And what happened this time, I was ministering, the Lord was leading in giving a word, giving a vision to the pastors, somewhere between, in total, 25 and 50, I don't know the exact numbers. But as the word went forth, as it was teaching restoration, it was giving them a vision, you could see that religious spirit crumbling, that fear, that confusion just fled in the name of Jesus. And as they grasped that vision, their faith was quickened. They were encouraged because they now knew what God was requiring of them. What they'd been taught, what they'd been going through, only God knows. But it's like the Lord rescued them. He could see their heart. There was a faith There is a commitment, and there is, I'll go into that later, a real commitment. And God was setting them free. And seeds have been sown. Went out there 2 weeks ago. Yes, the word of the Lord had gone to India, but there was nothing that we know. God in his mercy has so blessed us with the revelation here. There was nothing resembling a New Testament church. As we speak now, in its embryonic form, 35, 40 New Testament churches are now established. They want more. They want to come. They want the word to go back again. Within 2 weeks, just the power of God's word, sowing the seed, 35 to 40 New Testament churches. They want us back there, and I mean us. I'm going, but it's you as well. It's the word from this assembly that is going to establish what God is doing out there. We had a vision, praise God, and an interpretation of grass and a field and a tree. I was watering with a watering can, and then there was a great flood, and then a tree would start. And that's exactly what God is doing. He's sweeping away the counterfeit and establishing his righteousness. And when that tree has come to maturity, it will produce its own fruit, its own seed, and then they'll take over from there. And so it's a nurturing thing. There'll be several more visits in which those New Testament churches will be nurtured through the change that's going to take place, established, and then we move on. And you're just seeing it. And so there weren't quite the miracles that there were last time, but the power of God's word to bring about change, deliverance, repentance. What was great to see was that their hearts turned from fear, confusion, religious bondage. They were set free and they were given a vision, and now they know what it is to be a pastor, what it is to pastor churches. For example, there was one family there that were no longer going to an assembly. They'd fallen out, and the pastor just left them to it. And when I was speaking on John 10, you know, what a true shepherd is, he repented while I was speaking that repentance, got up to leave, to go and sort out those people. He realised that as a shepherd, he was to bring them into the flock and nurture them. Other kinds of deliverance. But what was such a blessing was that they received the word. They understood that it's faith, the deeper life, the cross, commitment. They want to go on in discipleship. Now, if you can imagine the trials that you've been going through, but without this word, can you imagine that? That's what they've been going through. And so no wonder when they've received the word, they received it in such power. And so, praise God, God only knows what's going to come from this. You know, the grace and mercy of God. And that happened. It seemed like there was two phases, if you like. The first week, where God's power was just so great, ministering, speaking, delivering, bringing about a change. I mean, I'd obviously upset, or God had, or something was stirred up. Because the second half was just an intense spiritual warfare. And there was the two distinct halves. Something happened. Food poisoning, was it, or something? But I was hardly getting any sleep. And I broke out 2 o'clock in the morning, just real cold sweat and weak and shivering. And all sorts of thoughts you can imagine going through my mind. There was nothing untoward. Praise God, he was merciful. There wasn't what there could have been. Praise God. But the head, the headache. And there was a bit of a stomach ache. But I could hardly stand. Just the strength had completely drained from me. Sort of hobbled to the car to go to the meeting. And I was waiting on God. What else could I do? The enemy was attacking. I was scheduled that morning, after a week of hardly any sleep, to preach two messages, about an hour each. I thought, well, this is you, Lord, isn't it? You didn't send me out here to die. I believe. You didn't send me out here to die, so it's over to you. And I was just aware of God's presence. And I mean, I'm not going to exaggerate the healing or healing or whatever. I'd had a couple of glasses of Coke, so I don't know if it was the sugar or whatever it was. So I'm being open and honest. I'm just telling you what happened. A glass of fizzy apple juice. But I was waiting on God, just aware of his presence, and I just felt in there a real touch in the solar plexus, as it were, physically but spiritually. And the first thing that changed was my mind, my attitude. It just cleared. All thoughts of disease and weakness left. And then within a minute or two, strength came back. Stood up for those 2 hours, preached, and then the rest of the afternoon we were up gallivanting on a mountain, just up and down. For the next 3 days, my strength just came back and back and back. Praise God. So manifestations took place, but also God's preservation. Now, I know this is simple. It's nothing intellectual in this, but a revelation, a deliverance from fear. We often think fear says what if, don't we? We generally taught that fear goes what if. But as I was waiting on that, I was actually at the airport. Now, there's a reason God delivered me from that spirit at that time on the way out. Fear isn't what if. Fear says, he said, be more specific. Fear is what's going to happen to me. What will become of me? And then you've already seen it, haven't you? The deliverance came with that revelation. Well, have we taken up our cross or not? Are we crucified with Christ or not? What's going to happen to me? I'm going to be crucified. Well, we've already done that. And then fear just left, and there was just this presence, this awareness of God's presence, his love, his grace. Nothing to fear. Because I'm not going there for my own, what's it, health or whatever, anything else. There in God's will. I'm going there to be crucified. The only thing that can happen after that is the resurrection. Where's the fear in that? And it just, from then on, it was just a blessing. The boldness took over, and it was just wonderful to see God's grace at work. These people are so committed. They have nothing. They give everything. They have laid their lives down for the gospel. Talk about servant and loyalty. They know how to serve, how to give. And God is really reaching out to them, really blessing them, touching them. And I'm confident that those 35, call it 35 for sake of argument, new churches are going to grow, and the gospel will be propagated and spread in that place. From that, there will be some overcomers. God has said, out of every kindred, nation and tongue. Not everybody is going to be an overcomer, but they understand faith and discipleship. They're living it on a daily basis. And from that, first fruits will come, as we know, praise God. Went through a couple of villages, a couple of areas, travelling there, and we stopped. This happened twice. We stopped. I went to get out of the car, and he said, no, stay in car. And he bought me a cup of tea, and I said, what's the problem? He said, no white man here. These rural areas, right, they have one thing, Hindu or Muslim, that if they see a white man, he's there to convert them. And in their eyes, that's a justifiable death penalty. So I thought, praise God, well, the Lord knows. Praise God, preservation. It was the thing that touched me most was just the power of God through his word. It was as though I wasn't doing anything, just there speaking what we've been taught for the last 26 years. And when you see God's power at work, when you see it unfold, and what I was seeing was there's a preservation on the overcomer. When, for us to be called overcomers, Do we really know what that means? The Holy Spirit has separated us. He's put within us the overcomer's heart. And it is a separation. And that's our preservation. We're not getting involved in all the religious commotion and activity and all the things and all the glitz and the glamour. Yes, it's been a deep work. Crucifixion, humbling, breaking, a cleansing, a delivering. But that separation unto God is our preservation. And whatever doors open, and it's being led by the Spirit. The most important thing, yes, your theology, but the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth, and he'll give us that truth. Yes, we have to learn, you know, we're learning the word, but God confirms that. But there's such a preservation on our lives that whatever we get involved in, as we learn to move with God, not do more for him, but as we learn to move with him, when he moves, we move. When he rests, we rest. And as we go into each new thing, each next thing, each thing as it develops, you're just aware of the power, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, preserving and giving that discernment, giving the right message, the right word at the right time. It's not just a general theological principle, but each congregation had to receive a different message that was applicable to them. And no, praise God, I'm not yet perfect. But it's like God worked through that, and eventually the right message came out. Praise, it's just amazing to behold. And yes, there are things, what that's done is just driven me deeper into him. I'm now determined I'm going to spend more time in prayer and fasting, because that stuff has got to go. And the biggest problem that we'll ever face is pride. It is just whatever form of pride. And so, but God is faithful. He's opened that door, and the right people heard the right message, and to see lives changed. Simple message. If I don't know, you might not want to, you might not have time. But if you hear those messages, you've been hearing that for years, decades. Simple message, but the way their hearts are, the way things are out there, and what God is doing, it was delivered in power. Lives changed there and then on the spot. And the fact is, they want to hear more. They want to pursue, they want to take up the deeper life message. They want to hear more. Now, it's been interesting what the Lord's been saying here. I'm sure there's more to come. It'll come out in this. But if you turn to Luke 13, it's a deep change. What takes place to experience it and in their lives is a deep and a permanent change. Now, do not despise what we've been going through. Seems like a wilderness. Trials, tests, failures, disappointments, breakings. But if we could see it from God's point of view, what he's establishing, what he's working. In Luke 13, I'm going to start with verse 6. He also spoke a parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years, 3 years, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it, fertilize it. If it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down." Now, God has planted and he expects fruit. Now, here's the interesting thing, that sometimes in our life, as trees, we go through a winter experience. There's no leaves, there's no fruit, but the life of the Spirit is still at work below the ground, pushing those roots deep, establishing that foundation, drawing up water from deep within, because in winter the surface is frozen, the tree can't take up any moisture, it's not available to be taken up. So the roots go down deep, and that's what happens in our life, that's what's been happening. The most important part of our life is this preparation, because soon, as we've heard in prophecy, that fruit is going to burst forth. The purpose for which God has planted us is fruitfulness. and what he has ordained will come to pass. Yes, there's been some pruning, and our Lord here has had to intercede. There's been some years where we've not been fruitful, we've been missing it. So that intercession, Jesus interceding, Lord, stay with it. You've planted them. Give them a chance. Let the word do its work. Let's work on them this year, this season. And if they bear fruit, fine, praise God. But if not, okay, I'll stand back and you have the sovereign right to remove it. And that's what's been happening. Some churches have been removed. Some have been changed. Luke 3, for example. This is, you see, when we've been believing these things, but when you see it unfold, when you see the power of God unfold it simply through receiving the word, it brings a whole new realm. Luke chapter 3 and verse 9, John the Baptist saying, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. He was saying that on Messiah's first advent. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. God is rooting out whatever does not bear fruit. Whatever he hasn't planted in this time of shaking is being removed. And what he is planting in this time of shaking is being further established, and it's bearing fruit generally, but also in our own lives as well. And so a lot of deliverance is taking place, a lot of purging, a lot of pruning. But friends, God is preparing us to bear much fruit in this assembly. Jesus started it, didn't he? John 12, when he said that grain of wheat must fall into the ground and die. He set it all in motion. He set it all in motion by his advent, by his crucifixion, resurrection. And now that is being reproduced in and through us. Praise God, that fruit is being born. And it's resulting in salvation, healing, deliverance. New Testament churches being established. Now, yes, it's the promised land. And you think, oh, are we moving into the promised land? In a sense, because the promised land is the land of promises. The higher Christian living, appropriating all that Christ died to provide. And as we go out from this assembly, as the message of this assembly and from this assembly goes out to the four corners of the earth, those promises are being established in God's people. Joshua was a type. The Holy Spirit, through the fivefold ministry, victories in their own lives, but leading God's people into their inheritance. God's people are being led step by step into their inheritance. Giants, fortified cities. Well, let me tell you about them. When God's word is spoken in the name of Jesus, you see the giants flee. You see lives change. You see men's hearts. I think there's a chorus about that, isn't it? Turning to God, given a hope and a vision, and established in what God wants for them. Several times we mentioned about, without a vision my people perish. And that perish, eventually they will actually perish, but to begin with, it's an aimless wandering. Just wandering about aimlessly, religiously, no vision, no understanding of what it is to enter the promised land. And when that word comes, they have that vision, they have that hope. They stop wandering about aimlessly. They become established. They become planted, and they can then draw up from the Lord to bear fruit. Praise God. Now, there's a lot of work to do there, as there is all over the world, but we're now moving into India. A lot of work. A lot of strongholds still to tear down, superstition, ancestor worship, and a lot of anything from religion to occult. There's still in, they're born again, spirit filled, but there's so much deliverance needed. But the point is, God's word has started. God's word has gone in. Prayer. Now, I'm not the only one. I'm sure there's others in India ministering and bringing about the message of faith and commitment, but we can only speak about what God does through us. So your prayers, your giving, the finances, God blessed, we were able to provide Bibles and meetings could take place because of what God had provided through through you. So it's most appreciated. But above all, I experience the presence of God. You just know people have been praying. And so your prayers have really started a work, an apostolic work. Think of it, 35 New Testament churches established in less than 10 days. The power of God of that. I say established in embryonic form, but it needs nurturing. The point is that seed has been planted and they want more of the word. It is an Indian thing. It's not for a great, you know, for a white man to go in and, but the point is God has blessed us with teaching, and so that teaching is now going there. There are some ministries, there's like a tribal ministry there. Some tribes in India will not even accept somebody from the next village. Even Joss, my local man, he said, they won't accept me. If they see me going in, they will run into the forest. They will only accept their own people. So there's no way a white man's going to go in. But the point is, that teaching is training the pastors into that situation. And it's just wonderful to see not only the gospel propagated, but the deeper life, the word that we hold to, being established in that place. It might seem nothing spectacular, a lot of hard work, but when you actually see God unfold, you see lives change, you see this word coming to pass before your eyes, lives changing, situations that God has promised for years, and yet we seem, well, we're still waiting, so we take it by faith. But when it starts to unfold, you see the love. Yes, the power, but you see the love, the mercy, His grace and compassion at work. And so, praise God, they respond. People respond. Now, it's an interesting thing. I hope I can give this without, you know, any kind of condemnation, because we've all been through it. A lot of revelation, great blessing in this place of teaching, of God's long suffering, the work that He's had to do. And yet, what is it that there's something we ask, why do we hold back? Why do we resist? Because you go out there, they have nothing materially or from the teaching, and yet they've given their all to it. Total commitment. There's no such thing as a self preservation thing out there. They have laid their lives down, and it shows in the way they look after me, in the way they go out. They're prepared to die for their Lord. But all they know is evangelism. And so God's got to address that balance. It's the usual thing. They're pastors and they do the work of an evangelist, but they're not fully yet understanding. Some are, to a degree, and to a degree it works, but not in the sense that we've understood the work of preparation. They believe in the soon return of the Lord, but they believe the whole, you know, all the church, their entire congregation, and the whole tongue speaking movement is going to go up in the rapture. They don't yet know of the first fruits and overcomers. But when you talk to them about overcoming, yes, they rejoice in the word because they've not heard the word, but in their experience, it's like, well, yeah, that's my life. It's one long overcoming. It really is. But they get set on fire when they hear the word, because they've not had this word. But the trials they've had, they have had the trials. Praise God. Matthew 12. Now, it's not that I've got a thing about trees. It really isn't. But it is such a blessed revelation. It's what God is doing. Because what He's delivering us from, we cannot make a law for this. You can't work at this. There's nothing the human mind can conceive that would create this or produce it. This is a supernatural work in Matthew 12. and verse 33. This is something God is doing in our lives, and as we heard in prophecy, we're about to experience the fruit of it. We're still going to wait on God. It's still going to be trials. It's still going to be preparation and perfection. All that is still going to carry on while we see the fruit and the revelation and the power of it unfold. This is something only the Holy Spirit can do, but the encouragement is that we are experiencing it. We could have been removed. God could have said 10 years ago, I've given them my best, I've given them everything, and they're still resisting. They're still fighting me. But praise God, our Lord has been interceding. God has ordained that fruit shall come from this assembly, from the overcomers. God isn't going to ordain it from eternity and then remove it. That's just a parable of saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Do whatever it takes, but make me fruitful in what you've given me. So there's no danger of being uprooted, is there, except unless we become like the Laodiceans, all proud and arrogant and indifferent. And one of the things that was clear out there, we've said it before, but in all the opposition they face, and they face opposition from the government, from their neighbours, Muslims, Hindus, face real jeopardy. What they're doing is illegal, unless they register, in which case they can be monitored. They're left alone, but everywhere people are going to think, well, there's some meetings going on in there. And especially if a foreigner comes along, oh yeah, what's going on in there? And they're subject to that. But they were really encouraged by the fact that it isn't, that opposition is not a problem. The biggest problem that we face is indifference, lukewarmness, the enemy within, the pride. And God will even things out. God will remove from us everything that resists this word. The seed of this word is going to find a heart that's ready to produce that hundredfold fruit, that hundredfold harvest. Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruit, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. This is not something you and I can work at. There is no law that we can keep. There is no work that we can do to bring this about. We yield to the Holy Spirit. By being born again, spirit-filled, the tree has been made good. But without continually allowing the Holy Spirit to either produce that fruit or to work in the roots, as we looked at, it's not going to work. It must be a total experience of God taking over. And that was so clear out there. There's all kinds of things happening. Prosperity. Other ministries, I won't mention names, but a well-known evangelist went out there. They got saved, but nobody got healed. I was thinking, Lord, what are you saying? And he's getting ready for the overcomer's message and ministry to go forth. Why? Because the overcomer's message and ministry is pure and it's total. Everything else, even though it might appear to be working at the moment, quote unquote working, if you look at it, if you scratch away at the surface, there's compromise, corruption, some kind of deception. I heard the prosperity teacher, I don't know his name, talking in Matthew 16, talking about Peter's revelation of Christ, and it just out of his mouth came a Gnosticism, a Gnostic spirit, talking about a separation between Jesus and the Christ. You could just feel the grief of the Holy Spirit. And yet, they got their miracles. They showed it's a typical TV thing with the empty wheelchairs. But what they didn't show you were the hundreds leaving that hadn't been healed. They're good at that, aren't they? God is going to have a total, through the overcomer's ministry, it's going to be a total ministry. All will receive, because all are going to be taught from Scripture how to receive. There's no teaching in these things. A lot of hype, a lot of so-called evangelism, and for a while the miracles are working because God is setting the scene. He's saving a remnant. He's preparing them to receive the Overcomer's ministry. And all will receive. Just like in Jesus' ministry, when the works, the greater works, begin to manifest, everyone will receive, because everyone will have had the word sown in their heart. They'll be taught how to receive. It's not miracles, friends, it's relationship. God wants a relationship with these people. That's why at the moment there are still delays in manifestation, so that the heart can receive from God that living word. Not just instructions from scripture, but the seed of God's word producing the divine life in that person. And Jesus goes on, and you can see the wheat and the tares. He goes on, he says, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things?" And you could hear that out there. There's no point in man's religion, the evil, trying to proclaim God's word. How can anything evil speak something good? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so he goes on, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things." How else can it be? And so God, in establishing us, is giving us such a power, the fruit of our lips, that God's word going forth in power. Religion is going to ultimately fail. The wheat and the tares grow up together till the end, but it's ultimately going to be exposed for what it is. Nothing good can come from it. And that's going to be seen. We're going to be seeing that. We know it to a degree now. We know it to an extent by what they're propagating. But boy, when it's exposed, when the evil of that system is exposed, and the good that comes through us, not us, but God, the Spirit, the good that comes from us, the power of it, that fruit, that when people partake of it, they get saved. You know, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam partook of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil, and they were denied access to the tree of life. Well, God is restoring. God is restoring it. And in the millennium, in the New Jerusalem, it speaks of where we have access to the tree of life again, and the leaves will be healing to the nations. And you can see this beginning to work now, that the curse is being lifted. The fruit, the evil fruit that we've partaken of as sin, the curse has been removed, and now we're getting back that tree of life, and everyone who partakes of it, healed, delivered, full redemption in Christ, and obviously, praise God, eternal life. But the power of the kingdom, what is it to have eternal life? What is it to be in the kingdom? Well, the power of that kingdom, the life of that kingdom, starts sown as a seed within us and will take over. We're going to experience the fruit, the revelation, the life, the power of that kingdom. Healing and deliverance and eternal life, salvation, all the things that God reveals to us, byproducts of being placed in Christ, being placed in that kingdom. And the power of it will just flow through. The power just flows through, whether it's a spoken word, whether you act your faith and you lay hands, and you just see redemption taking place in front of you. But it's God doing it. It's the Holy Spirit doing it. There is no law, no work that you can do that will create it or sustain it. It's purely yielding to the Holy Spirit. So, it's gentle. It's not dramatic, spectacular, but when God takes over, it's effective. It's an effective ministry, and people get saved. And he says, "I say to you that every idle word men speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment." Do not as Christians, say things that we don't mean. We should not, as believers, cast throwaway remark and idle word. Because of who dwells within us, our words have power. Power of life and the power of death. On the day of judgment, nobody will be able to say, "I didn't mean it, Lord. I was only joking. You know my heart." God's not going to accept that. God is so training us, so working with us, disciplining us. And what we're going to be finding is an even deeper discipline and training of the cross of prayer life. Because our words have power. And we've got to understand that. That doesn't mean we can't talk about daily things. But when we're talking spiritual things, when we're conversing, when we're speaking, we need to be aware of the power of our words. And this is why we've got to keep that confession. Doesn't matter how we feel, what we see at the moment, maintain that positive faith confession. Confession is faith's way of expressing itself. Corresponding deeds and actions will come, but we must maintain that positive confession, because by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned, both in this life and in the life to come. We have within us, dwelling within us, the living word. And as we continue to speak, mean what we say what we mean, we will experience the fruit of it. We're now coming into a time of reaping, a time of power by the Holy Spirit. The reason it's taken so long, well, God knows. Yes, it's the Father's time. But we've also got to acknowledge that we've held back. God has given us his all. As we give him our all, we're going to see that overflowing, overwhelming power of God. We're going to see the dead raised. Men give their hearts to Jesus. We're going to see the devil, yeah, okay, don't disrespect him, but the giants and the Jerichos and the... You'll see them come down. You'll see them flee. No principality or power, no army or king can stand before the Lord and his anointed. It's not our word. It's God's word going forth in power. Praise God.